Chapter 7. The Disappearance of Passepartout. While he waited for the Carnatic to set sail, Passepartout wandered around Hong Kong. When he came to the port where they were to embark on the Carnatic, he was not surprised to see Fix walking up and down the quay. Fix seemed very disturbed and disappointed. The detective had a good reason to feel troubled. The warrant for the robber's arrest had still not arrived from London, and it would certainly not reach Hong Kong for several days. Since this was the last English territory on Mr. Fogg's route, Fix could not arrest him once he left for America. The robber would escape unless Fix could manage to prevent him from leaving.
"Well, Monsieur Fix," said Passepartout, "have you decided to go with us as far as America?"
"I suppose so," replied Fix.
"Good!" exclaimed Passepartout. "Let's go secure our cabins on the Carnatic."
When the two men entered the ship's office, they were informed that the ship's repairs were done. The ship would be leaving that evening, not the next morning as was originally planned.
"That will suit my master all the better," said Passepartout. "I'll go let him know the good news."
Not knowing what to do, Fix decided to tell Passepartout everything. It seemed like the only way to keep Phileas Fogg several days longer in Hong Kong. He invited the servant to join him for a drink at a nearby bar, which also happened to be an opium house. They ordered 2 bottles of port and chatted about the journey. When the bottles were empty, Passepartout rose to go tell his master about the change in time. Fix caught him by the arm as he stood up.
"Wait a moment, Passepartout. I have something to tell you."
"What is it?"
"Have you guessed who I am?" asked Fix.
"You're an agent of the members of the Reform Club, sent out here to interrupt my master's journey. Although I discovered who you were some time ago, I haven't said anything to Mr. Fogg."
"He knows nothing, then?"
"Nothing," replied Passepartout.
"I am not an agent of the members of the Reform Club, but a police detective."
Fix showed his police papers, proving he was indeed a detective.
"Listen," continued Fix. "On September 28th, a robbery of £55,000 was committed at the Bank of England by a person whose description matches that of Phileas Fogg."
"That's ridiculous," shouted Passepartout. "My master is an honest man."
"I have tracked Mr. Fogg to this place, but I've failed to receive the warrant of arrest yet. You must help me keep him here in Hong Kong."
"Never,"
replied Passepartout.
"Consider that I've said nothing then," said Fix. "Let us have another drink."
"Yes, let's drink," said Passepartout,
already feeling the effects of the port. Fix saw that he must keep Passepartout separated from his master, and so he slipped an opium pipe into the other man's hands. Passepartout held it, took in several puffs of the drug, and then lay his heavy head on the table.
"Finally," said Fix to himself, seeing that Passepartout was now unconscious. "Mr. Fogg will not be informed of the Carnatic's departure, and even if he is, he will have to go without his servant."
He then paid the bill and left the bar. While these events were happening at the bar, Mr. Fogg, not knowing he was in danger of missing the steamship's evening departure, was making the necessary purchases for the long voyage to America. Although he thought Passepartout's absence was strange, he was not too concerned about where his servant was, because he thought the steamship was only leaving the next morning. When Passepartout did not appear the next morning, Mr. Fogg collected his travel bag and met Aouda. Then the two of them took a carriage to the quay. When they arrived, Mr. Fogg learned that the Carnatic had sailed the evening before. At this moment, a man approached Mr. Fogg and Aouda. It was Detective Fix.
"Excuse me," he said. "Did you intend to sail on the Carnatic?"
"Yes, sir," replied Aouda.
"So did I, madam, and I am very disappointed," continued Fix. "The Carnatic left Hong Kong 12 hours before the stated time. We must now wait a week for another ship."
The detective felt a rush of joy. Mr. Fogg being delayed for a week would give enough time for the warrant to arrive. However, his joy suddenly disappeared when he heard Mr. Fogg say, "But there are other vessels besides the Carnatic in the harbor of Hong Kong." Offering his arm to Aouda, Mr. Fogg directed his steps toward the docks in search of some boat about to depart. Fix followed them. For 3 hours, Phileas Fogg wandered around the docks looking for a vessel to carry him to Yokohama. Finally, a sailor approached him.
"Are you looking for a boat, sir?" he said.
"Yes. Will you agree to take me to Yokohama?" asked Mr. Fogg. "I must arrive there by the 14th at the latest.
I need to take a steamship from there to San Francisco." "We cannot reach Yokohama in time, but the voyage might be arranged another way," added the sailor. "I can take you to Shanghai."
"Pilot," said Mr. Fogg, "I must take the American steamship at Yokohama and not at Shanghai."
"Why not catch the ship in Shanghai?" asked the sailor.
"The San Francisco steamship does not start from Yokohama. It stops there, but it starts from Shanghai."
"Are you sure of that?" asked Mr. Fogg.
"Perfectly."
"And when does the ship leave Shanghai?"
"On the 11th at 7 in the morning. We have 4 days to get to Shanghai," added the sailor.
Phileas Fogg then turned to Fix and said,
"If you would like to take advantage of this deal, we will leave in an hour."
"Thanks, sir. I was about to ask the favor," replied Fix.
"But what about Passepartout?" asked Aouda.
"I will try to find him," replied Mr. Fogg. Mr. Fogg then went to the police station and the French consulate and gave them Passepartout's description. It was now 3 o'clock, and the sailor's boat, the Tankadere, with its crew on board, was ready for departure. The crew was made up of the sailor himself, John Bunsby, who was also the master, and 4 brave sailors. Phileas Fogg and Aouda went on board, where they found Fix ready for the journey. Soon after, the sails were raised, and the Tankadere, taking the wind under her sails, moved quickly forward over the waves. As the boat moved along into the night, Phileas Fogg found himself thinking of Passepartout, who had so strangely disappeared. It did not seem impossible that he might have gotten on the Carnatic at the very last moment. Aouda also thought this could explain Passepartout's disappearance. At dawn the next day, which was November 8th, the boat had traveled more than 100 miles. They were moving along at a good speed, and John Bunsby assured Mr. Fogg that they would reach Shanghai in time. Mr. Fogg hoped that he would be able to reach Yokohama without recording a delay in his journal. After a day or so passed, the wind began to blow harder, and the sky seemed to predict the approach of bad weather. The storm of rain and wind descended upon them at around 8 a.m. Carried by monstrous waves, the boat moved quickly northward during the whole day and night. The sun soon reappeared and the storm finally passed. The night was also relatively calm. The next morning, they spotted the coast. That very evening, Mr. Fogg was due at Shanghai if he did not wish to miss the steamship to Yokohama. Several hours had been lost during the storm, but they weren't too far off from their destination. At 7 o'clock p.m., they were still 3 miles from Shanghai. In the distance, they could see the American steamship ready to leave for Yokohama.
"Signal the ship!" exclaimed Phileas Fogg.